feeling of getting picked last
brings back memories of getting picked for the kickball team. It's a feeling I'm very used to, believe me. Psalm 30. Well, because I get to go last, didn't we say the service would go no later than 7? So thank you guys for giving me over an hour to fill the rest of the time, and this is awesome. Oh man, this is great. So what'd you say?
Awesome to who?
Awesome to everybody, of course. Wow, this is great. This has been a blessing, really. All of these messages and Caleb's testimony as well has been really great. Psalm 30. When we go to the Psalms, we're going to the songbook of the people of God, the people of Israel. And when they would take this compilation of what to them were poems, it doesn't rhyme to us, obviously, because it's translated into English. And it didn't even rhyme in Hebrew, because the way they rhymed was by thought rhyme. They had like parallel ideas, and that's the way this is really poetry. But it was also songs that they would sing in their worship. When they would sing these songs, many of these songs, if you look at Psalm 30, you notice that it starts out with the first person personal pronoun, I. So it's like not a bunch of people. It's written by David, but as God's people sing this song together, they're affirming it for themselves, and that's how these psalms work. We can read these as the people of God in Jesus Christ now, as believers in Christ, and claim these for our own. And that's the way that we can read these psalms. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, this is on page 840. Did I say Psalm 30? I'm so sorry. I meant Psalm 13. All right, I need to get my act together. I'm so sorry. I was just having such a good time talking about how long I got to go. This is Psalm 13, page 829. And if you don't have a pew Bible, then you could just Google Psalm 13 on your phone. You'll be able to find it that way, too. Psalm 13. You might have heard of a man named Rudyard Kipling. He wrote The Jungle Book. He also wrote a poem that gives good advice if you're a journalist or a reporter or an investigative writer or something. Here's the way it goes. He says this: I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. Now, these are good questions to ask ourselves, good helpers to have with us as we go along in life. But we use these helpers especially when we go through something difficult. When we go through a trial, a challenging time, we want to know what I'm going through. Why am I going through this? When will this be over? How can I get out of it? Where is the solution? Who can help me? There's all these questions that come to our mind. We're going to face things like that in this coming year. And so the psalmist asks a question too in this psalm. How long? That's the question he asks. How long is this going to last? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? And this is what he wants to know. He's going through something difficult, and we don't know what it is. It doesn't record it for us here. All we know is that he's going through something that makes him feel like God's face is hidden from him. Like the very source of his joy and excitement and love is shrouded from his view. We know that whatever he's going through is giving him sorrow. You see in verse 2, having sorrow in my heart daily. Whatever he's going through, there's someone else involved, and he's identifying someone else as an enemy, and this enemy is being exalted over him, and he's saying, how long is this going to last? And this is something that we tend to want to know too. Like, I'm going through something hard. How long do I have to endure this? Okay, I want to know how long. And when we ask that question, why do we want to know how long? Like, if you're going to go to the dentist and it's going to be an uncomfortable procedure, you want to know, okay, how long is it going to last? Like, how long do I have to, here it is, how long do I have to put up with this? Like, how long do I have to endure this? How long do I just have to press pause on my enjoying my life so that I go through this, and then when it's done, I'm like, okay, I'm glad that's over with. That's kind of the thought behind this question, How long? We want to know the timing of it so that we want to know when can we get on with our lives the way we want to live them. But what answer comes as we proceed throughout this psalm? I mean, what would you expect the answer to be if this answer were to be given? Let's say you come to the end of the psalm and God replies, 6 months and 3 days. 1 year and 2 months. Or 3 hours. I mean, that would be the proper answer to the question, how long, in terms of chronology, right? You don't find that answer here. Instead, you find a change of focus. Here's what's going on here. The psalm doesn't conclude with time. The psalm doesn't conclude with the answer to the question, how long? The psalm concludes with the answer to the question, who? It's not how long. It's who. And the who here is God. Because here is what is going on. He instead of asking the question how long after verse 2, then he directs his attention to God and he begins praying, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. And here's the resolution, here is the conclusion. But I have trusted in thy mercy. Amen. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. The question never got answered, did it? The question, how long, never got answered. But resolution came because the focus changed from the trial to the God who is giving the trial and sustaining the psalmist through the trial. And this is an area that we need to get our thinking changed on too, because when we ask the question, how long is this going to last? What we're thinking is, how long must I endure through this until my life can begin? What God wants to tell us is like, no, I am with you in the trial. This is what I'm doing in your life. This is your life. It is me directing your attention away from all these things in the world to find your greatest joy and delight in the only being that can ever satisfy it, and that is God himself. We tend to ask how long. God's saying, you need to ask who. I mean, isn't this what happened with Job? If you're familiar with the story of Job, Job goes through these horrible trials. Right? And he wants to know why. Like, I've been a righteous man. I've done everything right. I've done my sacrifices. I've taken care of my family. I've been good to my servants. I've not lusted after a girl. I've done all these things right. Okay, this is Job. And Job wants to know why. And he never gets the answer. But God just confronts him with himself. God says, okay, Job, have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Do you give a horse his strength? Do you know what's in the heart of the earth? Do you know how the earth is held suspended in space? Tell me if you know. Were you there when I called forth the constellations? Go ahead and talk to me about that, Job. God is saying, you need to put your focus on me. And this is what happened to Paul too, when Paul had this, what he called a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. It's not given specifically in Scripture, but he prayed that God would take it away from him. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. He didn't take it from him. He redirected his attention to God. That's what God does to us, so that we can say, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And here's how this resolves. It begins with an agonized question. How long? And it ends with a joyful song. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Let me just put this out to you all. You will face in this coming year a time that you're going to be tempted to say, how long? And God is saying, no, look at me. I am the one who can give you joy and sustain you in this trial. We must focus not on the how long, but on the who. And that is God himself.